This spot is brought to you by Eaton Vance, the symbol of advanced investing. What's inside your ETF? With Parametric Equity Premium Income ETF, you know. Inside, you'll find institutional expertise from a specialized team with deep derivatives experience. Get to know what's inside PAPI, the symbol of alternative income, at eatonvance.com/symbols. Before investing, prospective investors should carefully consider the investment objectives, risks, charges, and expenses. The current prospectus contains this and other information and is available at eatonvance.com. Read the prospectus carefully before investing. Not FDIC insured. Offer no bank guarantee. May lose value. Not insured by any federal government agency. Not a deposit. Investments involve risk. Principal loss is possible. Distributed by Foreside Fund Services, LLC.
The Energy Department's assessment that COVID-19 likely came from a lab in China is getting plenty of attention in Washington.
We know there's like some new intelligence that caused the Energy Department to change its position, but precisely what that is, we're still trying to find out, to be honest with you.
We sort through what's known and not known. And hundreds of thousands of people protest an election overhaul in Mexico. What comes next? Plus, why baseball's latest rule change isn't a home run with everyone. It's Monday, February 27th. I'm Anne-Marie Fertoli for The Wall Street Journal. This is the PM edition of What's News, the top headlines and business stories that moved the world today. In Mexico, President Andrés Manuel López Obrador will not reverse plans to overhaul the country's election system, according to a spokesman, despite massive protests. Hundreds of thousands of demonstrators rallied across the country on Sunday. They waved flags and banners, many bearing the pink colors of the National Electoral Institute, known as INE. It's the second time in less than 4 months that protesters have gathered en masse to demonstrate against the overhaul. The legislation would cut the electoral agency's budget by about a third, a savings equivalent to 0.1% of the federal budget. Protesters argue that the overhaul will weaken democracy and threaten the agency's ability to organize reliable elections. Reporter Juan Montes in our Mexico City Bureau says the gatherings were unprecedented.
Several of the organizers, which are social civic groups, they say they are going to keep pressing the Supreme Court. These groups and opposition parties are going to challenge the laws before the Supreme Court. So there is going to be a lot of pressure on the Supreme Court to overturn these laws.
López Obrador has argued that the operational costs of Mexico's electoral agency are excessive and that its senior management works for a corrupt right-wing elite. It's been more than 3 years since Brexit, when the United Kingdom left the European Union. But one of the lingering issues has been a dispute over the trade status of the UK province of Northern Ireland. Today, UK Prime Minister Rishi Sunak and European Commission President Ursula von der Leyen announced they've reached an agreement.
The United Kingdom and European Union may have had our differences in the past, but we are allies, trading partners, and friends. Something that we've seen clearly in the past year as we joined with others to support Ukraine.
Details weren't immediately available, but in recent days, the UK and the EU have said a deal would involve allowing British goods being sent to Northern Ireland to enter without customs checks. We'll have more on this story in tomorrow morning's episode of What's News. We report exclusively that the Special Inspector General looking at the reconstruction of Afghanistan says the collapse of the Western-backed Afghan government was due to an abrupt, uncoordinated withdrawal and lack of planning by the U.S. The report, viewed by the Wall Street Journal, also says at least $7 billion of military equipment was left behind after the Taliban took control in August of 2021. A Pentagon spokesman said it would be premature to comment on the report before it's released. Treasury Secretary Janet Yellen visited Kyiv today, 1 week after President Biden's own surprise visit. Yellen met with Ukrainian President Volodymyr Zelensky and discussed the rollout of about $10 billion in financial assistance for the country. The money is part of a $45 billion spending bill Congress passed in December in support of Ukraine, NATO, and the U.S.'s domestic defense industry. And on most days, the U.S. flies aircraft over the South China Sea, both for reconnaissance and to push back on China's territorial claims in the region. But the U.S. says these flights are being met with more aggression from Chinese fighter jets. Our Asia security correspondent Alistair Gale saw this firsthand on a recent flight north of the Paracel Islands, which both China and Vietnam claim. He was aboard an American P-8 patrol aircraft in international airspace. A Chinese J-11 jet fighter approached.
And it was actually rather close. It was about 400 or 500 feet away from the tip of the wing of the P-8. And we could see very clearly there were 4 air-to-air missiles on this J-11 Chinese fighter jet. We could see the pilots. There were 2 people flying the plane. When the P-8 would maneuver and would make turns, it would tell the Chinese plane what it was about to do. And the Chinese plane didn't respond through the radio, but it did track the movements of the P-8 and follow the same course. And we were told by crew members on the flight we were on that they've seen an increase in these dangerous interactions by the Chinese fighter jets with American reconnaissance planes. You know, the American side said they will continue to make these flights. They want to show that this is international airspace. So you'll probably see a continuation of this trend. And, you know, the fear is that it may lead to something which is perhaps catastrophic.
China's foreign ministry did not respond to questions about what territory it claims in the South China Sea or what it thinks about U.S. patrol flights. Coming up, we'll talk more about where the U.S. intelligence community stands on the origins of the COVID-19 pandemic. That's after the break.
This spot is brought to you by Eaton Vance, the symbol of advanced investing. What's inside your ETF? With Parametric Equity Premium Income ETF, you know. Inside, you'll find institutional expertise from a specialized team with deep derivatives experience. Get to know what's inside PAPI, the symbol of alternative income, at eatonvance.com/symbols. Before investing, prospective investors should carefully consider the investment objectives, risks, charges, and expenses. The current prospectus contains this and other information and is available at eatonvance.com. Read the prospectus carefully before investing. Not FDIC insured. Offer no bank guarantee. May lose value. Not insured by any federal government agency. Not a deposit. Investments involve risk. Principal loss is possible. Distributed by Foresight Fund Services, LLC.
You may have seen the news over the weekend that the U.S. Energy Department has concluded, though with quote-unquote low confidence, that the COVID-19 pandemic most likely arose from a lab leak in China. That's according to a classified intelligence report recently provided to the White House and key members of Congress. But several other U.S. government agencies and a national intelligence panel concluded that the pandemic was likely the result of natural transmission, jumping from an infected animal to a human. If you find this all a bit confusing, we're here to help sort things out. And joining me now to help do that is our national security reporter, Warren Strobel. Hi, Warren. Thanks for being here.
Thanks for having me.
All right. So, Warren, tell us the basics of this report. Why is it coming out now, and what evidence does it cite in coming to this conclusion?
So the report's coming out now because the intelligence community did an update of a report that they put out in October 2021. They and President Biden have sort of pledged to keep Congress informed and the American people informed about what they're learning about the origins of COVID. There's new information that comes in, new intelligence, there's new academic and scientific articles, and they decided it was time to kind of update this earlier report. In terms of the new evidence, they're not saying it's classified. We know there's like some new intelligence that caused the Energy Department to change its position, but precisely what that is, we're still trying to find out, to be honest with you.
We should add here that the Chinese government has rejected the Energy Department's assessment and accused the agency of engaging in a political smear. Warren, this might seem like a strange question, but why is it important to know the origins? Is there a sense that this was something that could have been prevented?
The argument is that you need to know the origins of the pandemic because there's going to likely be more pandemics. And whether it was something that came from nature as a result of the trade in wild animals in China, or whether it was a result of a mishap during advanced biological research that helps you tell how to prepare and maybe even prevent the next pandemic.
And Warren, questions about the origins of the coronavirus have become quite politicized. Several Republican lawmakers are now conducting their own investigations into the origins of COVID-19. So what role did politics play here, and how can we sort of parse that out from the conclusions of this report?
Yeah, so we, in our reporting, tried to stick very closely, of course, to the facts, very carefully. We wanted to make sure we had it nailed down and confirmed what we knew with multiple government officials. But we realized in doing this story that it's a very political partisan issue and environment, and it would likely set off some more of that. Former President Trump sort of was the first to push the lab leak theory along with some of his senior foreign policy officials. And it turns out as time goes on, we still don't know the origins of the virus, but there's some evidence that a lab leak is possible. And Republicans, particularly on Capitol Hill, they now control the House. They are investigating this very, very aggressively. And last point, some of them have gone so far as to say this was a deliberately created bioweapon by China. The report that we wrote about in the journal says there's consensus among most or all the intelligence agencies that that's not the case.
Right, and we should emphasize that this lab leak theory is not the conclusion of four other agencies. They say the pandemic occurred from natural transmission.
Yeah, I mean, the bottom line here is the intelligence community writ large. And this intelligence community, by the way, is 18 agencies with a combined budget of $90 billion a year, with all sorts of cool secret toys and methods for gathering information. As a whole, they are still divided on the question. You have, as you said, four agencies in the National Intelligence Council, which sort of lean with low confidence towards the natural transmission theory. You have two who say we simply don't have enough information, and those two include the CIA. And now, as we reported, you have two who lean towards lab leak, and those are the Energy Department and the FBI. It might seem a little strange to listeners, but they both have a lot of expertise in biotechnology, biology, with this specialized labs, so that it's not like they're coming in from left field.
So for folks trying to figure this out for themselves, you know, where does that sort of leave us?
That leaves us more than 3 years after the pandemic began, still wondering, still not knowing how it started. A lot of it has to do with the fact that China, the Chinese officials very early on, killed all the animals in this market where COVID-19 first appeared. They limited investigations by the World Health Organization. And we just don't know whether that was sort of a knee-jerk reaction or whether they were covering something up.
And of course, there could be reasons beyond those two possibilities. But in any event, you mentioned the Biden administration earlier. During a White House press briefing this afternoon, National Security Council spokesman John Kirby was pressed on this.
The intelligence community and the rest of the government is still looking at this. There's not been a definitive conclusion.
Warren, what are the plans to continue investigating the causes? What can you tell us about what's happening going forward?
Yeah, so the Biden administration is not giving us any details about how they plan to go ahead, move forward on this, except to say that they will, and that all elements of the U.S. government are looking into it. As a practical matter, we've talked to some fairly smart people who believe that someday we will find the answer. But that kind of depends on a little bit more transparency from China. And it does depend on, you know, if you want to prove the natural transmission theory, you do need to find an infected animal or some kind of spillover event or chain of transmission. And up to this point, as far as we know, there has not been an animal that was infected with COVID before the first human infection.
Wall Street Journal national security reporter Warren Strobel. Warren, thank you so much for clarifying this for us.
Thanks again for having me on today.
And finally, a change to America's favorite pastime made a dramatic debut this weekend. The Red Sox were facing off against the Braves in spring training. The game was tied 6-6. Bottom of the ninth, two outs. Bases loaded, full count. Atlanta's Cal Conley is at the plate. And
he's out.
They have called strike three! Wow!
Conley got busted for a time violation. Baseball has been thrown a curveball this season thanks to a new pitch clock that officials put in place to keep games moving. Pitchers have 20 seconds to throw when there are players on base and 15 when there are none. And the rule Conley violated? Batters have to be in place when the countdown hits 8 seconds. Our baseball reporter Lindsay Adler says for players, the new rules will take some getting used to.
Pitchers are going to be very, very crabby about this. They're going to spend spring training adjusting to the pitch timer and probably complaining about it. Fans will probably be happy about it, and it sort of gets to the heart of one of baseball's core dilemmas. Like, there's a side of it that's like a competition product, and then there's a side of it that's an entertainment product. So teams have really found ways to try to maximize their ability to win games at the expense of entertainment.
And that's what's news for this Monday afternoon. We'll be back tomorrow morning. If you like what you hear, please rate and review us. Additional audio in this episode from Reuters. I'm Anne-Marie Fertoli for The Wall Street Journal.